And also this week, researchers in Sydney and in California have identified a chemical factor that dampens down hearing, causing the temporary hearing loss that we experience after exposure to loud sounds such as a rock concert. And this is distinct from, and can even protect us from, the permanent hearing loss that's caused by very long-term noise exposure. To find out more, Chris Smith spoke to Gary Housley from the University of New South Wales in Sydney.
So what we've discovered is that this receptor, which is called a receptor for ATP, is activated when sound levels come up in our environment. So as noise develops, then we've found that the hearing organ, the cochlea, releases a particular chemical which binds to this receptor, and then the receptor triggers a process which is quite remarkable, which reflects adaptation or adjustment of hearing sensitivity. This research has identified this one receptor, one molecule, as the start of a process that over a period of 20 minutes or more with an increase in background noise turns down the sensitivity of our hearing.
You said that it kicks in after about 20 minutes. So how long does the effect last for? Once you've got the diminuendo in or reduction in hearing sensitivity, how long do you remain partially deaf for want of a better phrase?
Okay. Well, perhaps I can put this in the context of the experiment itself. So having identified a receptor, we wanted to find out what it was doing with regard to the influence of noise on hearing. And a drug company in the United States had developed a mouse model where those mice no longer expressed that receptor. We were provided with some of those mice and we exposed the mice to 20 minutes, an hour or 2 hours of quite loud sound, 85 decibels of noise, which is louder than a lawnmower. We were expecting to see a major hearing loss because that's what happens with mice or people when they're exposed to these loud sounds. So the eureka moment for us was then, after all this time in the sound chamber, we tested the hearing of the mice, and there was no change in the hearing sensitivity. It was beautifully acute. So noise had had no impact on the sensitivity of the mouse. So what we then did is, of course, compared this with a normal mouse where that receptor was present functioning, and that's when we plotted the time constant for the development of the loss of hearing. And the time constant is roughly a measure of the time it takes to get half the maximal effect, and that's about 20 minutes. So the next question was, well, once this hearing desensitization or adaptation has occurred, how long after the noise is turned off does it take for the hearing to return? We found by testing the hearing various times after we'd turned the noise off, that the time constant is about 12 hours for recovery. And what that means in practical terms is that after half an hour of loud noise, a normal mouse would take more than 24 hours to regain its baseline level of hearing.
It takes 20 minutes for that protective effect to have at least half of its effect, the time constant being 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Sounds can do damage much more acutely than that, though, can't they? If you go and listen to The Who, the loudest band in history, they're going to start playing chords that are 110 decibels from the minute their hands hit the guitar strings. So I'm surprised the system isn't faster.
Well, perhaps the good news is that there are faster response systems for dealing with loud transients. And that's part of the neural feedback control to the hearing organ from the brain. And so that's called an efferent system. And that neural pathway can adjust the hearing sensitivity in the matter of milliseconds to seconds. So it's a very fast dynamic process that actually enables us to pay attention to particular sounds against a noisy background. But that also adapts very quickly. So it's a dynamic response. When it comes to recreational noise exposure and, you know, perhaps music exposure in the case of The Who, those very intense sounds, are worrisome. It's something that, as you pointed out, is not within normal physiological parameters for our hearing organ. And there's a high likelihood that will cause damage. And one of the, I suppose, the issues that, that our research raises is that with this natural ability to adapt to loud sounds, it's likely that some people will have this in a more effective mechanism than others. And so if people have a less dynamic control of their hearing sensitivity through this ATP receptor pathway we've identified, then they may well be at risk of hearing loss, because we found that with our mice that didn't have this receptor, if we raise the ante, as it were, and expose them to very loud sounds in excess of 95 or 100 dB, which is approaching those sorts of levels you talked about, then after some time of exposure there, they had far worse permanent hearing loss than the normal mouse that has the fully developed adaptation reflex.
So before I go to my next rock concert, should I be popping a pill of something? Or is this the ultimate aspiration? We can give people pharmacologically a defenders then.
So the neat thing about these sorts of elements is perhaps the potential for prophylactic treatment. One of the challenges for noise-induced hearing loss has been that the safe levels of sound exposure, are defined, but people get caught out, or they make a voluntary decision that they're going to ignore the kind of prudent guidelines. So if indeed there is that therapeutic window, either to provide a pill, switching on a pathway which can deal with the noise stresses, or indeed perhaps other chemical stresses, then that may provide some protection. Or conversely, once the hearing damage is established, what the field suggests now is that those pathways that lead to irreversible damage, principally to the hair cells and the auditory neurons, are activated over a period of hours or potentially days after the initial insult. These are the challenges, I think, for the hearing science to identify which pathways within particular cells in the hearing organ are key to preserving hearing function.
Gary Housley from the University of New South Wales in Sydney. And that work has been published in the journal PNAS. You can find more information about that and all of the news that we've covered this week on our website at thenakedscientists.com/news.
You're listening to The Naked Scientist with me, Kate Lamble, and with Chris Smith. So, does your hearing get dampened after a loud gig, or do you take extra steps to protect your ears from damage? Let us know by emailing studio@thenakedscientist.com, tweet @nakedscientist, or find us on Facebook.